are continuing part two on Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. Amen. And Adrian, I think, maybe sent out this article too. Maybe if you didn't get it, it's New York Times.
I just put it on Facebook.
And that's probably the only time I'm going to promote New York Times.
I didn't take it down.
But anyway, it's very interesting. I'm going to read it. Last time we had read it, it's a research from University of Pennsylvania talking about five ladies that had their spirit filled and they speak in tongues. And just how it, talking about, the Bible talks about when we pray in tongues, our understanding is unfruitful. And just how the part of the language parts and the frontal lobal that engages language is shut off while we're speaking in tongues. And some of those, which is very interesting. So it comes from our spirit. And that's what the Apostle Paul talks about when I speak in tongues. My spirit prays. We'll talk more about that here in just a few moments. But my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Literally, your brain, the language portion of your brain, shuts off when you're praying in tongues. It shuts off. It is inactive at that time. Also, this study in England about they studied 1,000 evangelical Christians in England who practiced, who engaged in speaking in tongues, and it says that statistically that they were more emotionally stable and they suffered less from mental illness. So it does something. It physically impacts your brain, and it also does something to you. And this is why the devil fights so hard against this, is because there is a physical impact when you do pray in the spirit. We'll talk more about it here, but just to kind of recap, James 1:17 says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Everything that God gives us is good. So I don't understand why there's so many Christians that call this bad or of the devil and it's wrong. And Jesus clearly spoke that it's a gift from God. It is from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit shows up and he manifests. Just like the devil, when the devil manifests, there's hate, there's anger, we see that in Galatians chapter 5, that it's called the works of the flesh. That means when the devil, when the enemy shows up, those are the things that happen, right? Jealousy, anger, all of these bad things happen when the devil shows up, or when the devil, the spirit shows up. But guess what? We see there at the end of Galatians chapter 5, we're called the fruits of the Spirit. What is that? The manifestation. When the Holy Spirit shows up, there's love. That's why, people will say things and they'll get into what we call familiar spirits and all these other things which are not healthy. You don't want to play with Ouija boards. You don't want to go visit palm readers and all these other things, because that's demonic, right? It's evil. And I'll tell you this, when those people, they go do those things, they'll have a heaviness on them. That is not the Holy Ghost. Anytime you have the Holy Spirit manifest, you're going to have joy, there's going to be peace, there's going to be things that are going to happen. And there are people, even in church that I've been around, they'll get in the flesh and they'll say things to people that you're like, that's a little off. When that happens, you're going to get something on the inside that's going like, that's kind of weird. Been around people too before where it's just everything is like, their prophecy is everything's bad and everything's awful and everything's terrible. It's like, well, wait a minute here. I thought we were the winners. I thought that, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us, according to Philippians, the fourth chapter. So when people say things, you can judge things, right? Because we use the word. But I will say this, the word is just as important as the spirit.
Yes.
Because if we don't have the spirit engaged, and we'll show you some more scriptures, we got to have the word, but if we stop there and we don't engage the spirit, because Jesus, we see throughout the scriptures, he engaged the spirit, right?
Yes.
And that's why he saw things. He is the word. John 1:1 is that in the beginning was the word was God, the word was with God, right? The word is Jesus. There's just a few times in the Bible where we see all three manifestations, the God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all together. Very few times. Just a few times. So we know that everything the Holy Spirit gives us, Jesus said there, we'll read these scriptures in a minute, in John chapter 14, John chapter 16, that He's going to give us the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Father is going to give, Jesus is going to give us the Holy Spirit as a gift on behalf of Jesus. And so that is a good gift. And everything that manifests through the Holy Spirit is good.
Yes.
Too many Christians want to pick and choose the manifestations that they agree with, right? I like healing. That's fun. I like prosperity. Ooh, that tickles my flesh. That's all wonderful, right? And I don't have anything against prosperity. I think we should all just be as filthy rich. I don't want to use the word filthy rich, but I think we all should just be as rich as King Solomon, right? That would just be great. Then we can fund the gospel. And I always like to say too, prosperity without purpose is poverty.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people have a lot of money, but they're doing nothing with it and they're not helping anybody. And so that's not God either. And I believe in prosperity, but again, you can get over, into the flesh with the prosperity message and everything, and everything's about prosperity. No, everything's about Jesus. And then from there, everything outflows, right? If our heart and our priorities aren't right, we're going to get weird. And so it's all about Jesus. I always get kick out of people. They always get into all of these things about the dig of the Old Testament, and they'll see God did this and God did this. I view my picture of God through Jesus. Because what did Jesus say? Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, right? So everything that Jesus does, whether that's he walked up to a crowd in Matthew chapter 9 and he had compassion on them. And what did he do? He healed them all. Everybody. Right? He wept at Lazarus' tomb. Jesus had compassion for people. And when he saw something, he healed people. He blessed people. He fed people. He did all of these things. Interesting. I don't ever see Jesus putting sickness on people. Do you?
No.
But then somehow we get this crazy rendition that God's out putting sickness on people. My Bible says that whenever he came and healed people, right? He didn't come along and go, you know what? You need a test in your life. Let me put a little sickness on you. I'm waiting for that scripture somewhere. Can you please show that to me somewhere? It's not in there. And it's understanding the character of God, and we understand the character of God through Jesus. That's how we fully understand, right? We are just too many. Now, I'm not saying discount the Old Testament, because we love the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament. But Hebrews says it's a type and a shadow of the New Testament. What it means is we don't clearly see in the Old Testament until Jesus shows up. Then we see clearly, right? Because he's the actual manifestation of God. We see that. Oh, I'm off to the races here, guys. But what is it? Emmanuel. What does that mean? God with us. Jesus showed up and he is the picture of God. He is the manifestation. Everything that we see that is in the heart of God, Jesus did.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Everything. He healed people. He was, Jesus is weeping at Lazarus' tomb, but he knows on the inside he's going to bring him back to life. Mm-hmm. But he was brokenhearted, right? That's God. Even though he knows he's going to do right, he's still crushed by the fact that his friend died.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's compassion. God's out killing people and he's teaching. Really, because I see that Jesus wept at Lazarus' tomb and he was heartbroken.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we see our image of God through Jesus. And I love the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament. And you know what? I got some Old Testament scriptures tonight. Ooh, we're going to get into that. We see Hebrews. We're never going to get near it tonight. I'm telling you what, I way overstuffed the turkey. So that's okay. We're going to take our time tonight. Hebrews 11:13 says, if you, being evil, we talked about this last week, so we're doing a quick recap, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give what? The Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Can you imagine? Whatever good thing you've done for your kids, right? And I know I've blessed my kids with things and I've done things and I've, fed them. I guess I have to, right? Don't we have to, right? guess I have to. Christmas shows around. I want to be that parent, But it doesn't matter what we've done for our kids or maybe kids, whatever your parents have done for you, that's still not, it really pales in comparison to what the Holy Ghost is. And it pales into what God is. Let me just tell you what. God loves people who don't love him back. And you know what? There are people around here that God has blessed in this world that hate him. That is a good person. That is a good character.
Yes.
Right?
Because
there's a lot of heathens, a lot of people in the New World Order, not all these other people out there, a lot of Satanists, a lot of Luciferians that hate God, but they've acquired an enormous amount of wealth, right? Mark chapter 15 through 20. This is all about different things. So what does Jesus say? This is right at the end of Jesus' ministry, right before he eventually ascended in heaven. What did he say? Go in all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. The one who believes and shall be baptized shall be saved. So Jesus is sitting and saying, first of all, I'm giving you salvation if you believe. Then he goes on, but if you don't believe, you're condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. That's a good thing,
yes.
Right? I don't think a lot of you have been, but I've been there too, where people have been possessed, and they're manifesting stuff right in front of me. And we just kick them right on out the door. Not the person. We keep the person, get rid of the devil, right? That's what we want to do, okay? A lot of churches kick the person out, but no, let's get them set free. Now, if they don't want to be set free and they like this garbage, well, that's kind of weird, but whatever. There are people out there in the world. Then it says what? They're cast out demons. They will what? Speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. If they drink any deadly poison, it will not harm them. And they what? Lay hands on the sick. And what? They may recover. They will recover, right? So again, we can't pick and choose what Jesus talks about here as far as, well, I like that one, I don't like this one, this one makes me feel uncomfortable, I don't like this, and I don't like this, but I like this one, right? We all like the healing part. We all like this. Now, don't go out and drink Drano or eat Tide Pods and then expect God to deliver you, okay? Please don't do stupid things like that or handle snakes. You know, I would laugh. One guy was teasing one time. He was talking about our church. We were talking about our church. I said, yeah. We're spirit-filled Pentecostal. Oh, you guys can handle snakes? I'm like, oh, baby, come on over. I'll let you handle some. And he had this look on his face. I said, no, we don't handle snakes, okay? Come on. You know, people are like, well, don't, you know. It's so funny how everybody has a mindset of us, but we're not supposed to have a negative mindset of them. Isn't that funny? How it's only a one-way street all the time, you know? Oh, you Pentecostals. It's like, well, have you darkened the door of a Pentecostal church? Have you actually talked to people before? So anyway, we love them. So again, every one of these is a blessing. And I'm going to tell you what right now, every one of these are intact today until the end of the church age. What's that mean? When we are out of here. After the rapture and everything else too, when we are gone.
Yes.
Everything Jesus accomplished at the cross is still in effect. None of it is done. I always like to run everything through the cross. Everything in the Old Testament, we run it through the cross. If it's ineffective and because of what Christ did at the cross, then we don't. But there are things that we still exercise, like we don't go around sacrificing animals, right? Because Christ was the ultimate sacrifice. He shed the blood. We don't need to sacrifice Fluffy, okay? We don't need that anymore because Christ paid the price.
Yeah.
Do we still love people? Absolutely. Do we still love God? Absolutely. So we can run everything through the cross and say, is it effective now? Is this for today? They guess what? They were healed in the Old Testament. And guess what? There's healing today.
Yeah.
It is still, we still have it, right?
Yeah.
Isaiah prophesied about healing in the Old Testament. By his stripes we are healed. In 1 Peter, it is by his stripes we were healed. Past tense. So again, it was in the Old Testament and the New Testament. We see every person that came out of Egypt was wealthy and they were completely healed.
Amen.
Every single person, right? There was not a feeble one among them, the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? Healing's for today.
Yes.
You know what? If anything in the Old Testament that we don't have now, if there's a benefit in the Old Testament that now we don't, to me, newer should be better, right?
Yes.
I mean, I've got an old Chevy. It's an 84. Okay, I know. When I get in that thing, it's just like, I mean, I feel like I was in high school, you know? But the new cars, I mean, boom, air conditioner, it's like,
yeah.
Right? I mean, that old car, I click it on. I mean, it's like the air barely blows. It's got the old cassette player, you know? Ooh, baby. Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Old cassette, you know, in there, and it's not working right and anything. But, I mean, it's kind of fun to mess around in, but it's not like our Sequoia or, you know, other. But it's just like, you get a Sequoia, it's like leather seats, heated seats and everything like that, too, you know. My old 84, you click the seat, one of them is electric, it goes about that far, and you're like, and that was high tech back then, you know, and electric windows, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, but now it's like, if it doesn't have that, but the point is, newer should be better, right? I mean, think about it. So if they had healing in the Old Testament, we should have healing in the New Testament, right? I mean, God, the New Testament and the New Covenant should be better than the Old. I mean, if God says, you know what, it was way too good in the Old Testament, you know what, we need to cut some benefits because, you know, we're a downsizing company, so we need to probably, you know, God's not out there going, well, you know, we're a downsizing company, so we need to kind of cut back on benefits here in the New Testament. Are you kidding me? We got it way better. And the Holy Spirit, God said, all the blessings there in Galatians, the third chapter, he said, because of Jesus, all of the benefits, let's just turn there, I'll read it. Galatians chapter 3. I am way off tonight, but that's okay. All right? This is what you get when you pray in tongues.
That's right.
Telling you what. And it's not because of me or anything else. It's because of God and the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You want to start yielding to the Holy Ghost, then you need to start praying the Holy Ghost like we're talking about tonight. Let's look at Galatians. And let's look at the third chapter here. Man, I love this. How many love their Bible tonight?
Amen. Yes and yes.
Galatians chapter 3, let's start in verse 11. But no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for what the just shall live by faith. Now that's a loaded statement right there. Because guess what? When you pray, it's faith, right? Because you're believing that God is real. Just like Hebrews chapter 6 tells us. We need to, first of all, believe that God is real and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Bless you. 13, let's skip down to 13. God has redeemed us from the curse of the law. What's the curse of the law? You sin, you die. That's it. That's the curse of the law. If you sin, all of these bad things are going to come on you. Go read in Deuteronomy. It's pretty gross, and I don't even want to read it from the pulpit, right? We're talking about all kinds of nasty stuff. And, you know, that really is a bunch of God haters, people who don't believe in God. I mean, that's really what it came, right? Curse law, being made a curse for us, it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Well, who hung on a tree? Jesus. He became a curse. You know, people are like, well, you know, Jesus paid the price for his sin. No, he didn't have any sin. It said he became a curse for us. His sin, our sin was put upon him. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Woo!
Amen.
What's that mean? Everything that God promised Abraham, all of those Hebrew names in the Old Testament, you know, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Jireh, all that other stuff. He's got, my God will be my provider. My God will be my shield and protector. My God will be, Jehovah will provide the way. Everything, all of the names of Jehovah are wrapped up in the name of Jesus. Do you realize that?
Yes.
It's translated. Jehovah, which is also Jesus. Again, let's read that through that. That the blessing, verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So guess what? Everything that God promised in the Old Testament to Abraham under the Abrahamic covenant belongs to us.
Amen.
Because of Jesus. Guys, I'm telling you what, I'm a Gentile. I'm a dirty Gentile. According to the Old Testament, I am a dirty Gentile, right? I was born on the wrong side of the tracks, according to the Bible in the Old Testament. And you know what? I got an idea that probably a lot of us in here are probably dirty Gentiles too, right? And we didn't really have anything coming to us because we weren't born like they were. But guess what? We have everything they have and better now. Everything in the Old Testament and now better. And guess what? Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit and they didn't. The only time the Holy Spirit would fall on people was three people: the king, the prophet, and the priest. Yeah. And those were only at certain times, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Because the Spirit of God would manifest on the Holy of Holies, which was, which if you study in Exodus in the Old Testament, it was Ark of the Covenant. There was two cherubs on top of it. That's where the Spirit of God would manifest. And it was just like in heaven, because God is sits on the Holy of Holies. That's his throne. And so that would manifest there on the Day of Atonement. One day a year, they'd give a sacrifice for the whole nation. And if the priest wasn't living up right, they had a rope tied to him, and he would fall over dead, and they'd pull him out, because only the high priest could go in there. Yeah, we got a better today. I'm telling you right now. We've got a much better today, right? Can you imagine that? Let's see here. Let's see. Leviticus, I got to remember. Do I need three turtle doves, or do I need this or that, and I need a lamb, and I need this? We don't have to do that anymore. Isn't that great?
Yes.
Right? Yeah. And then can you imagine the priest? Oh, I got to put blood on the horns and this and pour it at the base of the basin and all this other stuff. And it's like, whew. My goodness. We are well delivered. Amen. So let's go down to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll kind of get on what we're going tonight. Read a few scriptures here. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. Anybody getting anything out tonight?
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
You still love me?
Yeah.
You have to. Kidding. Just like those people. Been around Christians before. They'll do something. Well, you have to love me. Doesn't mean I have to like you. Oh, did I say that out loud? I'm sorry. Anyway. First, because his love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away with. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, they will be done away with. For we know in part and prophesy in part, but here we go. When the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. Now I want to stop here. This is the scripture that the people who don't agree with tongues, they camp out right here, okay? And I'm going to rain on their parade tonight, okay? And like I said, everything that Christ paid at the cross is still in effect until the church age is over, and that is when we are gone. Again, many people, they say tongues is not for today. The Holy Spirit is here today. I'm telling you right now. So there are three things Paul talks about. Number one, prophecy. How many believe that prophecy is still in effect today?
Yes.
Okay. Tongues. How many believe tongues is in effect today?
Yes.
And how many even need that it's probably handy to have knowledge?
Yeah.
Right? You kind of want God to help you with the knowledge area, right? Okay? So, again, we're chicken picking all of the ones that we want, some religious folks, and we're kicking out things that we like, and we're keeping the things that we don't like. So, many of them, their argument on this often is to say that when the perfect comes, we don't need these things. Their stance is, now that we have the Bible, which they say the perfect, they call the Bible, which, and it is perfect, is come, then we don't need these things. Well, let's just step back for a minute here. Number one, Paul is really talking about when the perfect comes, and he's referring to Jesus, right? He's not referring to the Bible. Because, first of all, everything, if that was true, then the Bible was the one that, well, since now we have the Bible, we don't need these things. Here's my whole thing. When was it the day that God said, okay, we got the Bible, now we're going to stop this? What day was that? Can you tell me? Was it when Paul got done writing 1 Corinthians? Because he hadn't written 2 Corinthians yet. Or was it when John finished Revelation on the island of Patmos? Or was it when the Council of Trent came and began to canonize the scripture in about 1563? Tell me when that happened, because you can't, right?
Yeah.
Nobody can define what date that was. Let me just tell you something. Everything God does, there is a day and a time, and it is finalized, and you can put your finger on it. Mm-hmm. Everything. So what happens is you don't know when the Bible actually came. How are you going to define when the perfect comes if you refer to the Bible, because all the books of the Bible were written over 1,600 years? And then what magical time frame was this all happen? You don't know. That's not true. Guys, it's not right. It's not right at all. He is talking about a person. Paul's talking about the future. He says, when the perfect comes, we won't need these things. Why? Because we'll be standing in front of Jesus. If we're standing in front of Jesus, I don't need tongues and interpretation anymore, because he's right. He's going to tell me in my face, right? I don't need knowledge, because I'm already absorbed in the Spirit of God in heaven, right? So I don't need to really... I don't need those things anymore. I don't need them anymore. So if we look at this, we know, for example, most scholars believe that Christ died, was sacrificed on April 3rd, A.D. 33. Now the year, our calendars are off 2 to 5 years, okay? So, but we think it was Christ died on April 3rd, he was sacrificed, and it was probably between A.D. 33 and 36, depends on what our calendar is, okay? But we know there's a day that Christ died. It was it. There's eyewitnesses. We see other secular writers, right? We know that Moses left Exodus in about 1445 BC. We know that, right? We also know that Christ was probably born about September 11th, right? On, again, when we're off a few years, but probably 3 AD, okay? So we know when these events happened. We know the day and the time. And in fact, we know on April 3rd when Christ was sacrificed was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So, I mean, we don't even know the day. We know probably the time because the Bible tells us. And we know scholars, and we can go back and we say, okay, this is probably when it happened. Tell me when the Bible came together magically so that we don't have tongues anymore. You can't, because there's no time frame, right? We look through everything in the Bible, and we know there's a date. Everything happened. We can put our finger on it. Christ was born on it. We know he was Christ. He was born on a specific day. So all of these arguments are, God is all about, everything in the Bible is all about now. Like there's an event that happens right now, and everything changes. So again, 1 Corinthians 13 is not talking about the Bible. God is talking about when we are face to face with Christ and we are out of here, because we won't need these things anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I need wisdom. I need knowledge. I need the Holy Spirit. And let me just back up and say this too. In the Bible, where does it tell you in the Bible that you're supposed to go to Bible college? Where does it say in the Bible that you're supposed to become a pastor? It doesn't tell you that. Because you need the Holy Ghost, right?
I am a word. Amen.
Because there's the Logos word, which is the Bible, the written word. We are not discounting the written word. We need the Bible. It is our guiding light, right? Yeah. But there are just some things, and we're going to see in scriptures in the weeks to come, we need both. When we get out of balance on either one, it is not healthy. Because when we're all Holy Ghost and glossy-eyed and bumping into stuff, and we don't read the Bible and we don't have scriptures, and I have friends of mine, when you listen to them talk, there's not one scripture that they say in their sermon. But they're talking about the Holy Ghost, and I'm like, how is that possible? I mean, how do you talk about the Holy Ghost and you're not using one scripture? Am I boring you guys tonight? I am so sorry. Anybody need a pillow and a blankie? Need a little sucky bottle. We'll get you a little nap. We got nursery upstairs. John chapter 14, verse 16. We'll read a few more scriptures here. The Holy Ghost is such a blessing. I love the Holy Ghost. I mean, when I was a kid, I told the story before, but we were a Pentecostal church, and nobody knew how to get baptized in the Holy Ghost, and it was just, I mean, I don't know how to describe it, not to be offensive or anything, but it was like, we were just like Baptists that talked in tongues. I mean, that was kind of it. When nobody really knew anything, I didn't know any scripture, but I was like, that stuff's real, and that's cool. And I saw the Holy Ghost manifesting, and we were kind of, when I was young, we were coming out of the charismatic renewal. So it was, you know, it was in the 70s when I was really young. Well, I'm only 22, so that those numbers don't match. I'll do that. But you know, we were kind of coming out of it, and what was a charismatic renewal? And that's how come, like, Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, my papa in the faith, Brother Hagin came in with the word of faith, because what happened was there's all these manifestations throughout the charismatic renewal, and people didn't have teaching, they didn't have understanding, and it was just everything was kind of getting off, and Brother Hagin came in with teaching. But Brother Hagin flowed in the Holy Ghost too. So, you know, thank God for Oral Roberts and Brother Hagin and all these people that really paved the way. So here we go. I will ask, John 16, verse 14. I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper so that he may be with you forever. It doesn't sound like a time frame on that, does it? Kind of forever, doesn't it? Yeah. The helper is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it doesn't see him or doesn't know him. But you know him because he remains with you. Here we go. And will be in you. Verse 26. Let's skip down to 26. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will what? Teach you all things and remind you of all that I said to you. Interesting. He's going to be the teacher. Is your Bible the teacher? We can learn things from it, but the Bible's not your teacher. The Bible is something we got information, but the Holy Spirit is going to be your active teacher. He's going to help you decipher things in the Word, right?
Yes.
Sounds like he's got kind of a... John chapter 16. So I'm going to ask this. If we don't need the Holy Spirit, and all we need is the Bible, and the Bible is supposed to be the perfect one, how come Jesus tells us we need the Holy Spirit? And we need the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. I mean, if the Bible is just, if that's it, if that's the only thing we need, we don't need anything else, then Jesus would have said, oh, I give you the Bible. Well, thank God we have the Bible. And again, please, it is a cornerstone. I mean, everything we base our faith on is on the Bible. I am not saying we are getting outside of it. But what I am saying is we can't do this without the Holy Ghost. Because what happens is, this is how cults get into it, is because they take the Bible and make it say what they want to say rather than being led by the Holy Spirit and having him teach us and guide us in all truth. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. John chapter 16, verse 7, it says, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I am leaving. For if I do not leave, the helper will not come to you. He didn't say the Bible, he said the helper. But if I go, and I will send him to you, and he, when he comes, will convict the world regarding sin and righteousness and judgment. I'm going to tell you something right now. We're talking about street ministry and stuff like that. And I've counseled people and I've done things over the years. And I'm going to tell you this. If the Holy Spirit is involved in helping people, it is a waste of time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I can quote the scripture, I can do things, and I can say things, and it's absolutely wonderful. But guess what? The Holy Spirit. See, I've come to this revelation years ago when I was younger. I'm like, this person didn't get saved, and this didn't happen, and this person got saved, but this person, this. And I'm thinking, wait a minute here. This scripture tells me that the Holy Spirit, he's the one that convicts the world of sin.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
I'm the little monkey on a stick here. I mean, I'm the little guy that's just bringing the message here. He's doing everything. Somehow we think we take a responsibility, like, well, I got this person saved. Not really. I didn't save anybody. I mean, God's the one that saves people, and he's the one that convicts us of our sins, right? So when you see somebody that gets born again, it's because the Holy Spirit is there convicting them at that point.
And they heal.
And so the Holy Spirit is the one that's changing lives, right?
Yes.
And I mean, they have all kinds of interesting people get saved, and they'll talk about, you know, I just felt this, and I felt this, and I felt this. Well, the Word is powerful, but the Holy Spirit is doing the work behind the scenes.
Yes.
The ministry of the Holy Spirit is very powerful. If we don't have it, we are lost. Let's look at John chapter 15, verse 26. We'll wrap things up here just a minute, maybe. I don't know. Did you bring your lunch tonight? I hope so. Your lunch? What'd you think I said?
Lunch? I'm just laughing. You said lunch and not like dinner.
Yeah. Anyway, you know what? I just thought lunch sounded funnier. So I don't know. It's just me. Whatever. So, did you bring your dinner? You're like my old grandpa and grandma used to say, "Did you bring your supper?" It's supper. See? Okay. I'm going to stop here for a minute. Okay. I'm off track. All right. I got the finger in the air. So when I was a kid, lunch was dinner. And the evening meal was supper, okay? That's the way I go. And we didn't call couches a couch. It was a Davenport. My grandpa called it a Davenport, okay? Yeah. I'm from southern Iowa, right? Down there, all kind of close to Missouri. So it was like, it was, we're going to have for dinner, and then it was supper at night, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, all right, we're off that. I'm moving on. I digress. Yeah. I'm part redneck. It's okay. All right. I'm okay with myself. So, John chapter 15, verse 26, it says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name," here we go, "he will teach you all things and remind you of all that I said." We just talked about this, right? "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will disclose to you what is to come." How many want to know what's to come?
Yes.
Does the Bible tell you what's going to come? I mean, yeah, there's prophecy like Daniel and Revelation, and there's, you know, things in there that's prophetic that's going to come. But the Holy Spirit knows when there's going to be a market crash. The Holy Spirit's going to know when COVID's coming. The Holy Spirit's going to know when this stuff's coming, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the Bible, unless you get into the Bible codes, you know, maybe dig something up. I don't have that stuff, and I don't know. But the whole point is, like, the Holy Spirit knows.
Yes.
So he says he will speak and disclose what's to come. He will glorify me. Here we go. "For he will take from mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. This is why I said that he takes from me and will disclose it to you."
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
I love the Bible. We're never going to get away from the Bible, okay? But we need the Bible and the Holy Spirit. We've got to have them.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot. I'm just going to say this. Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin said this, and I loved it. Papa Hagin said this, and he says, you know, it's just like not, there's some things, walking to Christianity, if you're not Spirit-filled, it's like washing your feet with your socks on. Okay, you're doing things, but it just isn't, I mean, you're just not, it doesn't feel right. You know, it just doesn't feel quite complete. And so, again, we can't be successful without what we call the Logos word, which is this, the written word.
Mm-hmm.
And then the spoken word is the Holy Spirit speaking to us. That's what we call the Rhema word.
Yeah.
And that's what Rhema is, the name. It is that Greek word, Rhema, which means spoken word,
mm-hmm,
from the Holy Spirit. And let's look at Genesis chapter 1. We'll close this here in just a minute. I want to go for a couple things here, and then we're going to close tonight. And I have way too much stuff, but that's okay. See, because it's this. It's not about, people will say things, well, that tongue stuff. Well, first of all, you have no idea what you're talking about when you say that tongue stuff, because it's a person we're talking about and a manifestation of a person, right?
Yes.
It's like me. You know, when I get up here and preach, you get to hear all my dumb jokes, right? Or all the silly things, right? Because, or when we hear certain things, or, you know, Mr. Gary tells his jokes. I mean, there's just some, when you're around people, they're just things that are going to come. The Holy Spirit, that's the whole thing. He's going to manifest things that's just him.
Yes.
And so, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, and it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and desolate emptiness, and darkness was over the face of the deep." Here we go. "And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And then God said, 'Let there be light.'" And what? There was light.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit was waiting for the word so that he could manifest.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything we see in the Word, when God speaks something, we know there's a focus on God speaking something. But here's the whole thing with that. God, when God speaks, there's the power of the Holy Spirit that makes sure it gets done. And there's a power when God speaks is because the Holy Spirit is on it. His Spirit is manifest. Oh, you don't think so? Go to Mark chapter 16, verse 20. That's why I'm telling you, the Logos word and the spoken word, we need both. We've got to have both. Mark chapter 16, verse 20 says, when they went out and preached everywhere, this is after Jesus is commissioning everything. We just read this earlier. We covered last week. While the Lord working with them and confirming the word by signs and wonders following. So they preached the word, but guess what? Jesus is standing up, and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, he's making sure that that word does what it's supposed to do, right? Because, and they went out, preached everywhere. So the apostle, the disciples, later apostles, went out, preached everywhere. When they preached, it says the Lord worked with them. What did he do? He confirmed the word by the signs that followed, right?
Yes.
So it's not just the words we're speaking, but it's the power. See, this is where we I feel like sometimes word of faith, or some people get off on everything, is because they think, well, I'm speaking the word. Well, no, we need to speak the word, but we need to believe that God is manifesting when we speak it. Mm-hmm. There's a difference there, right? Not just, I'm going to motor mouth some stuff, you know? And I had that all the time. Whole thing with Brother Hagin, he quotes all of his books, Mark 11, 22 through 20. I'd sit there like 50 times and just read it and just speak it, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, sometimes you get this misconception that, well, if I read it or I say it enough, it's going to happen. Well, it gets in you, and that's great. I mean, right? It's better than eating Doritos, you know? I mean, or watching junk on TV. I mean, we're studying the Word. That's good. But it doesn't mean just because, and Jesus talks about this. He says the religious people think because of the quantity of prayer they make in Matthew, that therefore their prayers are going to be answered. No, it's a faith-filled prayer with the power of the Holy Spirit working behind it. See, and the devil wants you to think that you're alone all the time, right? Because he's really big in isolation. That's why, you know, COVID was so damaging, is because people got secluded in these things. But when we speak things, what is the purpose of this? What he's saying is Mark chapter 16, verse 20, Jesus is saying, when you preach, my power and the Holy Spirit is going to back up what you say, because not only the words you're going to say, but I'm going to add power to it. Because I'm telling you what, there's a lot of people in hell right now that are probably quoting scripture right now, and it's not going anywhere. Because God has power everywhere, even in hell. But guess what? Those people in hell, they choose to be separated from God, and God's like, okay, whatever. This is what you want. But guess what? Here in this realm and also in heaven, there's power when we speak, because the Holy Spirit is backing us up. And it's by faith. Matthew chapter 3, this is the last scripture. I promise. Until the next one. That'll go back. Oh, it was next to last. Sorry, I forgot the next. I'm kidding. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And then also Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, those three. And it says, this is John the Baptist is baptizing Jesus in the Jordan. He comes up out of the Jordan River, and the Holy Spirit ascends on him as a dove. Now, this is one of the few places in the Bible where the Son, the Holy Spirit, and Father God are manifest at one time. Okay? And so... Verse 20 says, now the other time is on the Mount of Transfiguration, right? Where Jesus the disciples, Peter, James, and John are with him. Jesus transforms into, you know, bright light, and then God the Father says, listen to him, whom he speaks, hear ye him. Sorry, King James there just coming out. But here verse 20, I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, it says, after he was baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and settling on him. And behold, a voice from the heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Here we go. Verse 1 in chapter 4, right after that, says, "Then Jesus was led up by the word." No. He was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be what? Tempted by the devil. Now I want to stop here for a minute. There's so many things right here, but I can't have enough time to go into it. Who led Jesus into the wilderness? Holy Spirit. Who tempted Jesus?
The devil.
Right. Yeah, please.
It says, "Next, Jesus was taken into the wild by the Spirit for the test. The devil was ready to give it."
Right.
Not Jesus.
Right.
Not God.
Exactly. So you notice how God led, or Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness, but who did the tempting? The devil.
The purpose was to be able to defeat him.
Right.
And he knew he could. Yes.
And there's definitely a purpose behind that. And I would just say this too, sometimes the Holy Spirit can lead you into things that you're not comfortable with. And I'm sorry, and I've gone quite a while, I've been in fasting, I've probably gone 30 days fasting just on a look at that. And it's not real fun, okay? And 40 days with, you know, fasting, that's not a real picnic. And to have the devil messing with you the whole time, but there's a purpose for it, right? And part of that was, God was like, "Okay, I'm here to show the devil I'm large and in charge, and I'm going to knock your teeth out at the end of this."
That's right.
And this is only a glimpse of what I'm going to do to you. Right?
Amen.
Because we see in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, that he said he would bruise his heel, but he would crush your head. What's that mean? You're going to come against him, and you're going to do something to my seed, which he didn't know who it was yet. But the cool thing about it was, when you look at things, now you look at Jesus did not do any miracles or anything. I mean, you'll see all these other writings, they're wrong, okay, about Jesus is turning kids into other animals and stuff. It's like, okay, whatever, that's weird. The point is this, when the Holy Spirit came on Jesus, every devil in hell recognized him because they saw him in the glory that he had when he was in heaven. Then they saw, now Jesus is a target, but the problem is, it backfired on the devil.
That's right.
And so the power of the Holy Spirit led Jesus. He didn't do any miracles. He didn't do anything supernatural. Of course, we see him at 12 years old when he was in the temple, and all of those who were in the temple were amazed at his knowledge and his revelation, right? And Jesus was a supernatural person. I mean, he was, you know, Holy Spirit, overshadowed Mary at the time. But he didn't do anything supernatural until after this time. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit. And why was this so important? Because a man had to get us out of this mess, and Jesus was our example, not just about everything he did, but what he did was, he said, "Okay, I'm going to show you how to do this because the Holy Spirit's going to lead and guide me. I'm going to be the example of how to flow, how to walk with the Holy Spirit." That's why he said at the end of Luke, we read last week, we don't have time to go there tonight, end of Luke, and again, if you want to flow, read Luke into Acts. Luke wrote both of them together. They flow really great. It makes more sense when you do read this. But the end of Luke, Jesus said, "Make sure to go into Jerusalem because I have a gift there. I'm going to empower you." Why? Because he said, he's really saying, I needed the Holy Ghost there in Matthew chapter 3, when because John the Baptist and Jesus were arguing right before that. And John the Baptist said, "Oh, you should be baptizing me." But Jesus knew, he's like, no, it needs to be fulfilled. All righteousness needs to be fulfilled at this time. So when he was baptized in the Holy Spirit and he came up, is because he knew he needed to be empowered. Let me just say something. If Jesus needs it, I need it like 90,000 times more than he does. It's like, man, if Jesus has got to have this, I really need it, right? So what kind of spiritual pride am I going to be like? No, I don't need that stuff. I don't need the Holy Ghost. I don't need tongues. I'm cool. Are you kidding me? That's nonsense. That's crazy. We need it to be successful Christians. Amen? All right. Part two. Let's go. No. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's very important that we receive the Holy Spirit, because if Jesus needed it, and I'm just now getting scratching the surface on this, and we're going to go deeper and deeper and deeper into it because you know, the crazy thing is, there's a lot of testimonies I have, but I remember one time, Adrian, years ago, we were talking to a guy in college. He was in college going to a certain Bible college, and he said the college he went to taught against this stuff. And he says, "You know what? I see it, and I completely agree with it, but somehow I just can't believe it." And you know, people can be religiously brainwashed into thinking things because you've heard their whole life. But you know what? The key is to get into this and to find the truth, right? That's why I always say, you know, I was watching kind of a thing about a cult earlier this week and this cult leader and stuff, and that stuff scares me. I mean, you know, and just how many people, they shut their brains off and they just believe somebody, and I'm thinking, you know, we all need to think for ourselves, right? We all need to pick this up for ourselves. We all need to think for ourselves. Get into the Word. Don't take my word for it. Read the scriptures I just gave you tonight. Look at these things, right? I'm not a cult leader. I mean, you know, you have the freedom to do what you want to. And, you know, study the scriptures. And I've debated and talked to people about these scriptures before, you know, out of love. But the point is, it's like we need to discover the scriptures. We read the scriptures because guess what? You have revelation and understanding when you just read the Bible. Yeah. I know it's a novel thought, you know, all these little cool doodads and all this audio stuff and all these YouTubes and this teaching and everything else too. But you know what? Sometimes you just pick up the Bible and read it. How much you'll discover in the Bible is in there. Amen. I know it's a novel thought, right?
Yeah.
So don't ever take my word for anything. Get in the Bible yourself. Read it for yourself. Father, we just come before you tonight. We give you the glory, Holy Ghost. We invite you. We love you. We thank you for your ministry tonight. For everyone, you know, also too, always want to give, after this series, of course, every time. But you know, if you're not born again tonight, if you don't know Jesus, or you've never been received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we want to pray with you afterwards. Amen? You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need to pray in tongues. It's powerful. Amen? I didn't have any manifestation, anything happen to me until I began to speak in tongues. Brother Higgins said, which is true, and we see it in the book of Acts, speaking in tongues is the gateway into the supernatural. Mm-hmm. I need all the help I can do to be a good husband. I need all the help I can do to be a good parent. I need all I can do to help pastor. Everything that I do in life, I need the Holy Spirit to help me because I don't know everything.
Right.
We all need his help. We need the word and we need his help. Because we just don't know. But he does. Mm-hmm. And tonight we just rely on you. And Father, I just thank you that this message is going to impact people this week, Lord God, that we're going to fall in love with our Bibles and fall in love with you, Holy Ghost. And we just love you and we thank you that we're going to spread the love of God to all those around us. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Have a great week, everybody.